Thank you. It is a privilege to be up here and to be joining the young men who are preaching. I think the wives call us the useless bunch, but we're very honoured to be up here and share with you what we've learned from the Word of God. So let us pray. Our God, we thank you for you are a great King. And God, we pray as we come to this text and we come to see why you sent your Son, one of the reasons why, Lord, that he came to seek and to save the lost. Help me today to boast in Jesus Christ, to boast in his great purpose and what he done and how he achieved what he purposed to do. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so as just mentioned, over the next several Sunday nights, we'll be looking at several reasons why Jesus came. Not all of them. There are many, many reasons why Jesus came, but we're looking at several of them. Tonight in particular, we'll be looking at Jesus who came to seek and to save the lost. There is no controversy on this topic. Jesus very clearly says it in our text tonight. We'll be looking particularly at Luke 19 and the story of Zacchaeus, and I'm sure many of you are familiar with this story, but it's one of these beautiful conversion stories in Scripture, which you know commentators say you should study regularly, and I agree. It's been something that's really, really blessed me the last few weeks. But this account simply shows Jesus coming and saving the lost. In Luke 15, just a few chapters before, Jesus beautifully illustrates this. And I'll read Luke 15, 4 to 7. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Jesus here is speaking of a shepherd who leaves 99 sheep to go and find the one, to go and rescue this one sheep. And we see when he finds this sheep, we see celebrations. And why is there celebrations? Well, because this, as you see in the end of the text, the passage we just read, he's talking about the saving grace. He's talking about someone who has been converted. This sheep is representing someone who has been saved, who has been rescued from their sin and brought to Christ. And we see this celebration in heaven. You see, nothing on earth can possibly illustrate this truth of Jesus coming and saving. I was trying to think of a great illustration, and I'm not as good as Chris. He's got all these fancy stories, but I was trying to think, and I probably couldn't because I am quite the opposite. And if you're like me, and you know, I don't think I should even say this, but after shopping, you sometimes can't even find your own car, especially at Parramatta Westfields. And you walk around and around and you're trying to calculate it, and then you and your wife have interesting conversations about where the car was parked. But we are quite opposite. You know, I've worked in a warehouse before, and we had to move warehouse. And I don't know if you've ever moved houses, but even just moving a warehouse is thousands and thousands of products. Anyway, people will put in an order and we've got to pick the exact order. So I don't mean just the product, the exact, it was cosmetics, so it was nail polish. Now, for some of the guys out there, you don't understand how many colours of nail polish there are. Like, you do not understand, and I cannot exaggerate. I mean, red alone, there's about 15. So you could imagine, like a needle in a haystack, thousands of nail polishes, and you need to find the exact bottle with this certain batch, this batch number, and you need this particular bottle. Well, I and many of my team have spent hours and hours looking, and there are times where we found it and we're happy and we celebrate because Woolworths is going to get their one nail polish, but there are times where we just give up. It's not worth it. You know what? I'll just get yelled at by my boss because we couldn't fulfill orders, because we couldn't find that, and we just give up. But I have good news, and this is what I'll be speaking of tonight. Jesus is nothing like this. He never gives up. His plans do not fail. They are executed perfectly. He does not fall short of his purposes. When the triune God before the foundation of the world set out to seek and to save the lost, that is exactly what they did. Jesus never shows up late. He never misses an appointment. He is not so weak that if we were not to climb a tree, he would miss you. There is no sheep too hard for him to find. There is no sheep too lost. There is no sin too great. This is our great Savior. Let us look tonight particularly at this text, and we'll see the shepherd who went and rescued his sheep. If you look at our text this morning, Luke 19, and I'll read a few verses from verse 1. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. Now, it is often people look at this story and they put this great emphasis on the tree climbing, which has some significance. But they preachers I've heard, and I've probably done it in Sunday school, to be honest, but they'll put this emphasis on it as if it was the start or even the climax or the end of the story. And they sort of hark on this climbing of the tree. But what we must notice here is that this is not the beginning of the story, and it's definitely not the climax of the story. You see, before Zacchaeus heard of Jesus' fame, before he heard that he was going to pass through Jericho, before he climbed the sycamore tree, or even before it was planted, and long before Zacchaeus was converted, Jesus decided to seek and to save. We see Jesus passing through Jericho. But he did not just come for Jericho, but he came for this earth. Let me read to you Ephesians 1, 3 to 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, just as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Before the foundation of the world, Jesus decided to come and to save. Let me read a bit of that famous prophecy in Isaiah 53. I'll read from verse 4 to 6. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. We see here the prophecy of the Messiah who was coming, the servant shepherd, the man who would come and he would lay down his life. You see, the sheep had gone astray. They were lost in their sin and their iniquity, and they needed the Savior, the sacrificing Savior. And they needed that to deal with their sins. And as we know, that Isaiah 53 is talking about Jesus. Matthew 1:21, and at the coming of Christ, Christmas is coming up, and Matthew 1:21 says this: "And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." In 1 Timothy 1:15, Paul says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, whom I am chief." And in Luke 19:10, our text, Jesus says this: "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save which was lost." Long before that tree was planted, long before Lazarus was born, Jesus came. And he came and he planned to be born in a manger, to live among mankind, to be rejected, to be mocked, to die on the cross, and to seek and to save the lost. So let us go back to verse 2. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was the chief tax collector, and he was rich. So I want you to know that he was a chief tax collector, or you know, they also call him a publican. And we'll look at who was Jesus coming for. We'll spend a bit of time looking at Zacchaeus. A tax collector was someone who would collect money on behalf of Rome. So they're like a tax agent. Not that it's wrong to be an accountant, but in those times it was a bit different. You see, those kind of tax collectors, extortionists, they used to take money by force, and they probably didn't know exactly. It wasn't like today. It wasn't very clear. They didn't know exactly what they had to pay. So tax collectors would take advantage of this system, and they would take more than they should. And also with Zacchaeus, he would have also been considered a traitor. You see, you had Rome, who were the God-haters, and then you had Jews, who were the God-fearers, and yet a Jewish man who would, you know, betray his own people, who would go to Rome and take on this duty. They'll take on this duty, and then they would go and steal from their own people. So we see that not only was he this publicly known thief. You know, we have so many celebrities today, and they pride themselves on being sinners. They pride themselves on, you'd see like a famous person put up a tweet and should be pregnant and should be promoting abortion. And you look at that and you just, you know, you don't know how to, but people pride themselves. And I'm not saying Zacchaeus went around priding himself, but in that time, he would have known to be a sinner. He was just a known thief. And that's who he was. So everyone knew of this sinner, and he knew it of himself. To be a tax collector, you sacrificed a lot. You would have been hated by your people, probably family members, but you weren't part of the community. You weren't welcome at the festivities. You weren't welcome to celebrate God in a welcoming way. We also see that he was rich, which is interesting because in Luke 18, there's the account of the rich ruler. And we will look at that a bit later because it's this really great contrast. But him being rich, his position at work, or even his height, nothing had to do with him being saved. You see, he was lost. He was lost. So I want to point out a couple of things. One, Jesus came for him because he was lost, not because any of these other things. You see, even though you could look at him, and if you could think of a really bad person and think of his sin, well, Jesus came for that person. Jesus came for this great sin, as Zacchaeus had. He had like this great sin, this reputation of sin. That's who Jesus came for. You see, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are all born sinners. We are all born in this sinful nature. And Zacchaeus was in need of a Savior. Also, another thing I find interesting is that we should not be too quick, or we should not underestimate the power of God, the power of the saving grace of God. Sometimes we weaken the gospel, but we look at someone and we think that surely they cannot be saved. And I'm sure people would have looked at Zacchaeus and thought the same thing. But as I mentioned earlier, Jesus does not fall short of his purposes. The power of the gospel is great, greater than we could ever comprehend. And I hope you can testify to that of your own testimony. You see, this is exactly who Jesus came to save. He didn't come for the righteous, for the Pharisees. He came for the tax collectors, the publicans. He came for those who are great in sin. He came for people like you and me, people who are dead in their sins, people who are wretched sinners, who are blind, who are God-haters. That's the lost. That's the lost in our text. Zacchaeus, ultimately, he was lost. He was a man who was dead in his sins, and he was in desperate need of a Savior. Now look at verse 3. It says, and he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was short of stature. So he ran ahead and climbed into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. You see, Zacchaeus climbing that tree, as we see in the text, was because of curiosity. Jesus would have, Zacchaeus would have heard of this man called Jesus. And you guys have heard many of the accounts. He, you know, multiplied food and he healed people and he spoke with great authority. He was very famous, as it's mentioned in the text. And Zacchaeus heard of this famous man. And because he heard of this famous man, he wanted to see who he was. So he was short, the Bible tells us, and he wanted to climb a tree. But we must not miss that it is by grace. We see the grace of God working in Zacchaeus. We see this man of great reputation who never ever cared about what people think, but we see him act in what I would think is like a childlike manner. We see him run ahead, and you know, he's just looking and he's running, and then he climbs up a tree. You don't see many adults climb up a tree, especially people of status. And that's what we see him do. He does all this to get a glimpse of a famous man. But we see simultaneously the grace of God moving him towards Christ, moving him towards his divine appointment. You see, Zacchaeus had human intentions. He was curious to see this famous man. But God had great intentions for Zacchaeus that day. See, Zacchaeus didn't need help because he was short, because he just found a tree and he climbed up. Problem solved. Again, Zacchaeus needed help because he was lost. We'll go to verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house." So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Lord, look, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is the son of Abraham." Notice a couple of things. We just mentioned that Zacchaeus is up a tree. So if you could imagine many, many people there. Like thousands of people would be there where Zacchaeus couldn't see him. So he's climbed up a tree. And Jesus, as he's walked past, he looks up. He looks up and he sees Zacchaeus in the tree. And he calls Zacchaeus by name. He says this. He says, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house." And Zacchaeus answered the call and received him joyfully. We see Jesus calling him by his name, Zacchaeus. In that moment, we see salvation. We see the mighty Savior call. We see the mighty Savior find his sheep and call to his sheep, and his sheep come. As we read earlier, the shepherd goes out to seek his sheep, and that is what we see. We witness this divine appointment, the shepherd finding one of his sheep. And we know from Luke 15 that there would have been great rejoicing in heaven. Salvation came upon Zacchaeus in that moment. He was blind, but now he could see. He had a heart of stone, and now it was flesh. He was a lost sheep, but now he was found. The grace of God has been poured upon his lost soul, and that day salvation was wrought. Let me quote J.C. Ryle, and I think he sums it up pretty well. He says, "Unasked, our Lord stops and speaks to Zacchaeus. Unasked, he offers himself to be a guest in the house of a sinner. Unasked, he sends into the hearts of a publican the renewing grace of the Spirit and puts him in that very day among the children of God." Notice that there is no works that Zacchaeus done. It was all of grace. He saw the Word in flesh. He saw Jesus. He saw the second person of the Godhead. And when Jesus called his name, he came. He answered and received him joyfully. We don't know what Zacchaeus would have heard prior. We don't know if he's heard what Jesus said or heard whispers. Many people would have been talking about Jesus. We don't know what miracles he would have witnessed or what he would have heard. The author doesn't tell us any of that. So to us, we have to assume that that is not important for the text. But what is important is that he was a lost man and Jesus called him and he responded joyfully. What is important, as Jesus summarized, that there is a uniting between the shepherd and his sheep. Another thing we notice, which is great. Now, hopefully I've emphasized enough what kind of person Zacchaeus was. I hope you're thinking of like a really bad person, because that's who he was. He's not the kind of person you would want to be seen with. But look what happens to him. Once he is converted, you see this great change. Zacchaeus rushes down from the kid, still what I believe to be a childlike manner. Imagine a man climbing down a tree. And he stands up. He stands up. He's not ashamed. He stands up. He doesn't try to claim and be without sin. And he doesn't try to say that, oh, I've kept all the commandments. He doesn't try to like justify himself, justify all the sins he's done. He doesn't do some weak apology, like if anyone's got a kid and you ask him to say sorry to their sibling and they just say sorry to avoid a smack. He doesn't do that. He doesn't do a weak apology like some adults who do apologies just because it's convenient and they just want to move on with life. He doesn't do any of like that. No, we witness evidence of true conversion, of true faith. We see a great change in Zacchaeus' life. He speaks straight to his Lord and Savior. And he accepts this invitation. He accepts this earthly invitation of having dinner, having Jesus at his house. But then look what he goes on to say, as we just read, he confesses his sins. And he does this by saying, I will make these things right. I will not only turn away from my sins, but I will make them all right. I will go back and I will make it right with every single person. I will sell half of what I have, and if I've done anything wrong to anyone, I will pay them back fourfold. What a sign of conversion. What a sign of a heart being changed. He turned from stealing from the people to wanting to give to the people. I, when looking at Zacchaeus and looking at his change, was very challenged this week. I was very challenged this week. I testify that God has converted me, that he's given me a heart of flesh, and I proclaim Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Oh, but sometimes sin just grabs a hold of your heart. And it's sometimes, even in mundane daily life, it's hard to be repentant of sin. But we see Zacchaeus, when he comes face to face with God and his heart has been changed, we see this great repentance. You see, for Zacchaeus, he loved money. For money's sake, as I mentioned earlier, he left his community. He was an outcast. The sacrifice he made for money, I can't even comprehend. I enjoy things and I enjoy making money when I work, but I can't comprehend this kind of love for money. But it was truly his God. He would steal for his God, which was money. And yet he was changed in a moment. He was changed when the king of this earth saved him. So I've talked about Luke 18 and this young ruler, and we'll contrast. We won't go through the whole story for time's sake, but in Luke 18 we have this young ruler come to God, and Jesus challenges him with a few things, and pretty much Jesus calls him and challenges him to give all to the poor, and he rejects it. He can't do it. I'll read the conclusion of this story, because this is the point I want to make. For when Jesus saw that he became very sorrowful, he said, "How hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And those who had heard it said, who then can be saved? But he said, and this is Jesus speaking, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. I'll just read that again. They asked, who then can be saved? Who can? It's so hard. And Jesus says, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. We see in the story of Zacchaeus, just the next chapter, and Luke so beautifully puts this together, we see the impossible task of men being complete in Christ. We see the camel walk through the eye of the needle. We see it in this text, and that's what I said earlier. It's this beautiful conversion story. We see the impossible being done. We see Jesus completing his purpose and doing the impossible. You see, Jesus is mighty to save, and that's what he does. The Bible and Jesus calls all to repentance. You see, we are all people are lost. All people are born in their sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we all need to repent of our sins and come to the Savior. You see, in this day and age, it's hard to even think that you're lost. And I say that because they've thrown the Ten Commandments out of school. They say that, you know, abortion, the murder of babies is okay. They're trying to, as we prayed for, you know, they're trying to euthanasia. They don't just want the babies, but they want people that they don't think fit into society, older people or people who are, I don't know what it is. Is it inconvenient? But it's sin. Ultimately, that's what it is. And this day and age, the world is moving so far from God that they're losing sight of this holy God. In a way, Zacchaeus was lucky because he lived in a community that lived by the law. And they did it, as you learn in the Apostles, they did it in a negative way. They held the law too high. But they lived by the law. So Zacchaeus knew without a shadow of doubt that he was lost. But maybe you know of the Ten Commandments. Do not steal, do not lie. Love God with all your heart. Maybe you know of the Ten Commandments. And maybe you realize tonight that you are lost. You see, we all need a Savior. We all need to repent and come to Jesus. And the invitation is to all. Jesus says, whosoever will come, let him come. You see, he came for the lost. He came for Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a man who was lost in his sin. He was a person who had a reputation of sin. So I hope tonight that if you are lost, or that you repent, that you believe on Jesus, that you would answer the call of the Scriptures. Let us conclude the story with the last few verses. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. You see, there wasn't much worse. I think I've made that clear. There wasn't much worse than this man. This man was an outcast. He had no place in a covenant community. You wouldn't be seen eating in his house. And yet Jesus wanted to sit in his house. Jesus knew that he was forgiven. Jesus knew that day he was a new creature. Jesus said to him in the next verse, today salvation has come to this house because he also is a son of Abraham. And that day he was saved. He was a part of the promise that was given to Abraham. That day, like Abraham, he would have led his family in the ways of God. At that day, he would have realized that he was a child of promise, and he would have lived in that manner. And that is who Jesus was going to sit with. That's who Jesus was going to have dinner with. He wasn't going to go have dinner Well, he was going to go have dinner with a once was dinner. He was a has-been sinner. I mean, he wasn't made perfect in that day. He'd be glorified later. But he was saved. He was a child of God. He was a part of the promise. But why Zacchaeus? Why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus come for the lost? Why did he come for Zacchaeus? And in verse 10, Jesus sums up the account. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. The Son of Man being one of Jesus' many titles, we see him very clearly speaking about himself. Jesus very clearly proclaiming one of his purposes. And as we come to Christmas, that is one of the things we celebrate. We'll go on the next few weeks to talk about many other things that Jesus came, but this is one of the things that we will celebrate. And it's one of the most beautiful truths in Scripture. Jesus coming to seek and to save the lost. And we see Jesus, as he sums up, he concludes this story, and it's like he's saying, today that was being fulfilled. Today the shepherd came, and he sought out, and he saved one of his sheep, one of his lost, sinning sheep. And Jesus continues to fulfill that till today. Jesus continues through the means of grace to work in this world to save those who are lost. Those who are lost in their sin, he continues to save. Zacchaeus that day had this divine appointment. And how blessed Zacchaeus was that he had this divine appointment. He had a divine appointment with the King of the world, with the Savior. And we see Jesus as he walked past, he sees Zacchaeus and he calls him. And Zacchaeus answers. Zacchaeus repents of his sin. He turns away from his sin and he comes to Jesus. Jesus concludes the story and reminding us that it's not about Zacchaeus, that it's about him. You see, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And Jesus reminds us about that. He says, this story is about me, it's about Jesus, about a shepherd who left the 99 and who went out. And he looked and he sought out that lost sheep. And he found that sheep and he put him on his shoulders and he took him back and brought his friends. And there was celebration. There was celebration over one sinner who was saved. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost, and that is exactly what he did and what he continues to do today. I hope we remember that as we come to celebrate Christmas and to celebrate Christ. Let us pray. Our God and great King, we thank you for sending your Son. We thank you that you sent your Son to seek and to save that which was lost. We thank you for the work of the cross. We thank you, Lord, that we are undeserving, but yet you are merciful. And through your mercy, you sought us out and you saved us. We thank you for that, Lord. We pray for anyone here who has not repented and believed on you. We pray that you call your sheep, that you would seek them out and that you would save them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we'll sing.